This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, the segment of the show brought to you by my friends at Omaha Steaks. The holiday season feels like it's been a long time coming because, well, it's 2020. So make it worth the wait and send a perfect gift. Send yourself something special and bring families together for delicious Omaha Steaks holiday feast. Now, we are a Omaha Steaks family for years. And yes, on both sides, receiving and giving Omaha Steaks. I guarantee you, I get more. Here's what how it works. I get a thank you when the Omaha Steaks shows up at the loved one's house, the packet. Then I get a thank you when they grill different items, steaks or the chicken or the burgers or whatever from Omaha Steaks. I get a thank you then as well. And sometimes, if we're lucky, we get an invite to come over and enjoy that food as well. And right now, you can do even better. Get yourself and a loved one a great deal right now on their deluxe grillers assortment. Here's how you do it. You go to omahasteaks.com, and in the search bar, type my first name, Sean, spelled the fast way, S-E-A-N. Type in Sean in the search bar. It'll take you to a page where you can get the deluxe grillers assortment, including perfectly aged top sirloin steaks, incredible meats, amazing sides, and their infamous Omaha Steaks desserts. And right now, you can get this mouthwatering package, plus four free burgers and a free digital meat thermometer, an exclusive price available only to y'all. But do this. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code Sean, S-E-A-N, into the search bar. That's the extra burgers plus an extra gift that's on the list of any serious griller. I used mine last night on some chicken from Omaha Steaks. And by the way, Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. They have all kind of meats, but their steaks, that's what made them so very famous. But check out the deluxe grillers assortment with the burgers, the free digital meat thermometer. Once again, get this deal for yourself and as a gift when you go to omahasteaks.com. You'll see the search bar window right there. All you got to do is type in my first name, Sean, S-E-A-N, and shop the best gourmet gifts of the season. Check them out. You're going to love them just like we do at my house, Omaha Steaks. All right. Has it been three weeks?
At least 3 weeks. It was before the election.
It has been three. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Kennedy Jr., Kennedy for Alabama fame, and my friend that we talk politics year-round. But did you think it was something fishy with me disappearing right after the election?
Well, you know, you often heard people talk about it. The results of the election were not what they wanted.
Right.
They were somehow going to depart. And so, yes, your timing was a little suspect. But, hey, you might have been up there trying to make the next generation of Dippin' Dots.
We can get to the Dippin' Dots discussion in a second. So here we are, 3 weeks since we've talked.
Yes.
Often you would say the dust has settled since the general, but sure seems dusty right now. Got Rudy Giuliani talking about not just a little bit. So when you talk voter fraud, quite often we're talking about narrow districts, and we're talking about numbers of votes that might be in the hundreds or thousands.
Onesies, twosies, right?
We've got the first allegation for Pennsylvania is 682,000 plus that. According to Rudy Giuliani, are fraudulent.
Yeah, I couldn't quite.
That's a lot of.
I couldn't quite get my head around whether he was saying they were fraudulent or that they may not have been done in accordance with the rules. Good point.
Good point. I don't want to and misstate it, but he said something to the effect of these were abnormal and all of them were for Biden. Is basically.
Well, of course they were, because if they found any that were for President Trump, they wouldn't have said anything.
They probably wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
So. But it would be incumbent upon the Biden campaign to say that, right? If they had found them. Shouldn't the Biden campaign be out there saying that we found these fraudulent Trump? If they found them, why not?
Not at all. Because what we're actually talking about here is probably a little bit more PR-ish than true voter fraud-ish. So folks are going to be doing whatever is in their own best interest.
Well, sure.
Because if you were being altruistic, what you would be doing is you would be reporting all the results of everything that you found.
Right.
But that's not really going to fuel your fundraising that you need to continue to feed the beast. So you're only going to focus on the part that benefits your side.
Well, so as I sit here right now with what I've heard, I still think, and I know it's much to the chagrin of many on the text line, I still think the outcome is that the next president of the United States is Joe Biden. But if this is provable, because you can have witnesses like Giuliani has saying that these things have happened.
Sure.
Then you go, okay, well, then if you're going to hear this and you have to have a cross-examination, does this get done by January 18th?
Well, no, right? So when we talk about President-elect Biden being the president, there are two checkpoints that have to be hit. The Electoral College convenes on the, is it the 14th of December, thereabouts, right? And then the Congress actually has to take an action after they swear in the next Congress, and that's probably around the 6th or 7th of January. So my prediction is both of those things happen, and on January 20th, Joe Biden will be taking the oath of office.
Okay.
I think all of the rest of this is, again, more PR related than truly voter fraud related. And the reason why I mention this is not only because the result came out the way that I wanted it to come out at the presidential level, but if I use just the example, I'll use Alabama, and I'll say there are four Democratic power centers in the state of Alabama. We can't get all four of those people to talk to each other. So in order to be able to do what Rudy Giuliani talked about, to have large, widespread voter fraud at scale that would actually impact 600,000 votes, people would have to be talking to each other, right? There would have to be money exchanging hands. All that stuff would have to happen.
That number is huge. It does. It begs a lot of questions.
So every voter fraud reference that he made, particularly within the Philadelphia metro area, we use those as four examples. It was what you talked about before. It was a single precinct within someone's individual span of control. It wasn't crossing precincts and counties and regions. You would have to have all that coordination in order to do it at scale. And that's the reason why I sit here very comfortably saying, yes, you're going to find some irregularities, right?
Irregularities.
You will definitely find it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that whatsoever. But are you going to find whatever the difference in the vote count is right now? I think that's highly unlikely.
Yeah, I don't either. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be enough to sway it, but it does continue this eroding. And if it is true, I want it eroded to the point where it's laid bare and rebuilt.
And people need to go to prison.
Yes.
If they were
participating. You and I agree.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I agree 100%. Yep. Because there's so many things that are alleged going into a general. I mean, and then after the general, like, wait, what happened? Why don't we continue to prosecute those
You and
things?
I talked about that before the election, as a matter of fact.
And that's why I think Americans in mass doubt, you know, have their doubts about the integrity.
But do they really doubt?
I think they do. They don't know what exactly it is, but there's this pall of, I don't know that this is all on the up and up.
Well, that's where I come back to this notion of coordination, money exchanging hands, et cetera, et cetera. So like one of my best friend's mom actually works at a local polling station, and she's a retired teacher, right? Okay. And so you would have to have hundreds of people just like her who are willing to risk her retirement, run the risk of going to jail, you know, had some sort of coordination with somebody in order to do all this stuff with smoke and mirror. Again, there's just an element of it that just seems highly unrealistic. And then in the case of Georgia in particular, where you have a number of Republicans who are in charge statewide, and you have results at the top of the ticket and the bottom of the ticket that are different. Again, it just gets to the theater of the absurd to think that it would happen at scale.
But it is the stories are cumulative, even though they may not be at scale. When you when you already have questions about the veracity of the voting, you find this, what was it, 2,700 votes that in Georgia, somewhere northwest Georgia, they're like, oh, we didn't count these memory sticks or whatever.
Oh, my God. Was that not, like, insane?
So, but
that
stories,
one seems more realistic to me.
Well, that
right,
goes back
face.
To the that goes back to some of the things I've talked to Dr. Yatsenyuk about. While we talked about fraud, we also talked about people screwing up. But, how, like, those stories, even though I don't think that moves the decision that was rendered on at the general, it does compound for people going, how much confidence do I have in our system anymore? We got the music going, go to the break and come back.
Sure.
More with my friend Robert Kennedy Jr. right here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Good to have you along. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. Find podcast of 54 hours a week of live local programming waiting for you there. You can subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. What was the new one? They said Deezer. If it's a podcast platform, we're waiting for you right there. So sign up and make sure when you check out the podcast, give us a thumbs up or star, whatever emoji they have, and leave a fantastic comment. All right, thank you. Continue our conversation with my friend Robert Kennedy Jr. and talk about election results. We hadn't gotten to talk since the election, but now we have a new part of this as well as the never-ending pressure going on with Rudy Giuliani. So I think right now you and I sit on the same page, even though different political philosophies, just pragmatically, I think Joe Biden is sworn in January.
Sure. I don't see anything right now that think it's going to be enough votes where the remedy is that states are going to shift from President-elect Biden back to President Trump. So I think on January 20th, President Biden's inaugurated.
So how do we do this? We the people bring, and you and I may have disagreement in the level of Americans' doubt in the system.
Right.
But do you believe that there are Americans that have doubt in the system?
Oh, sure.
How do we fix that?
I think it's one standard, right? Mm-hmm. And I've said this quite often, and I actually disagree with a number of people on this, is that whenever you come up with what the standard is, that standard for federal elections is the same across the board, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that may involve state elections being conducted in a way that's different from federal elections, but I think that's absolutely critical.
Yeah, I agree with you. And even while I like the idea of the states being the laboratories, not when we're talking about federal elections.
Mm-hmm. So even if you look at some of the things that we did here, now I don't find myself in alignment with Secretary Merrill on any one of a number of issues, but some things that I can say that I have seen him do what he said he would do was with the in-person absentee and continuing to emphasize that, with an effort to send out a remote vehicle that would actually create voter IDs for folks, right? And even with what our local probate judge, Judge Davis, did in terms of opening up those facilities on Saturdays.
Right.
Right. So all of those things are moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so if we can get more of that and even become the standard, given some of our history here in the state of Alabama, of being the people who do it the best, then there's absolutely an opportunity for us to have an influence beyond our borders.
So with Secretary of State Merrill's push, when he'll be on with me, he talks about that he has given ample opportunity for people to have voter IDs, but you feel like it's not.
Yeah, my view on the voter ID topic is whatever you need to produce in order to get a voter ID should be able to be produced on election day to confirm your identity. That's where I stand on the issue, because you're actually looking at the same set of stuff.
Right. Okay. And the documents that you would bring, utility bill or whatever it would be. It used to be the list in Alabama. It used to be like a sworn note from your aunt or something
basically,
like that.
But
those things you bring to get that ID, you're saying that ID is just a proxy for those documents.
Yeah, that's the result.
But the picture on it is the difference.
Yeah, but at some point in time, someone's looking at it before the picture. And that's what I'm saying, is whatever you need to do in order to make that decision to say, yes, you are in fact Robert Kennedy Jr. from Pritchard, Alabama, that if it's those six pieces of paper that you need to look at, my belief is that you should be able to produce those on election day as well to verify what your ID is.
Okay. I mean, that's even tighter than what I would expect. So
you're secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely is.
So you bring your voter ID card with your picture and then some other document out of the list or multiple.
Well, it's whatever you need in order to get the ID and walk away with the ID. It's the same thing that you could produce on election day.
Okay. What we need to do there is remind people starting now about those things.
But the salient point that I wanted to bring across all of this is, once the decision is made on whatever you need to do in order to confirm identity, then you should have an auditing process, right? You should have all of this vote counting stuff that's happening right now. It should be operated on things like Facebook Live, for example, and there should be recordings of all of it. So if you want to go into Jefferson County and watch a group of people as they're counting ballots, you should be able to do that. And there should be recordings of all of it. And then all this stuff that's happening right now, you just go back to the tape, review the tape, and actually see what happened.
And if you need, you having trouble going to sleep, You could go watch people count ballots, and it'll put you right to sleep.
Indeed.
All right. Let's talk about on the Senate side here. Mm-hmm. And first question, even before we... you surprised by the outcome there in the Senate?
Not surprised by the outcome. A little disappointed. And it wasn't disappointment in the sense that Coach Tuberville won, right? Because to a certain extent, we all kind of predicted that that would happen. You could see that Senator Jones's results were higher than Vice President Biden's results.
Mm-hmm.
And so that actually...
We talked about that happening,
We predicted that that was going to happen. And that was actually a good thing, because what it showed was it showed a number of people didn't vote straight ticket, that they actually looked at the candidate and made a decision that was different. The reason for my disappointment is actually a level higher. And I think when you look at the folks who are moderates, that there are now less moderates.
Mm-hmm.
And so while as a state, Alabama being a conservative state, folks are looking at that and they're happy about it, I think the larger implications for our nation, for the people who could reach across the aisle and as a freshman senator push through 21 bipartisan bills, you've lost one more individual who's capable of doing that. And so that's really what my level of disappointment is in the results of the election.
And Senator Jones' relationship with Joe Biden, do you think he ends up with a cabinet position or?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The only question is whether or not it'll be as Attorney General, because that's what he's mentioned
that's
for the most often.
That's the one we thought about, but then somebody told me the other day, oh, no, because X, Y, and Z, I didn't follow it exactly. I thought that was, but they said there were some other positions he may be considered for.
Yeah, and if you take about what his strength was, when we talk about what he was actually able to accomplish, just think about being able to have a person like that around you and advising the president, particularly when we talk about some of the fear that exist on the far left wing of the Democratic Party and the potential tug in that direction, having somebody who's anchored in moderation and has capability of doing a bipartisan thing and has demonstrated that, kind of pulling the left towards the center. On the other end, I think it's definitely good to have that expertise in the cabinet as well.
Less than a minute here. Does the Biden presidency scoring on the spectrum, is it moderate? Is it trending towards the far left? Where does it go?
It depends on what the results of the Georgia election are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I know there's an argument that says, while it would not be my personal preference, there's an argument that says if Georgia continues to keep the two Senate seats in the Republican column, then that gives more leeway for Vice President or for President-elect Biden to be more centrist because he will have to do that
to get
things through. Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about in the weeks to come because it looks like I think they just have wrapped the Giuliani presser. But watch the numbers come in. But right now, with what I've seen, you and I, you know, one of these things we agree on, I think nothing's going to change on the presidential outcome. We'll see. But I hadn't seen anything yet that makes me think that January is going to look any different than we thought it did.
No. We'll have some good follow-on conversations about whether or not we're capable of spending all the CARES Act money by the end of the year.
Yeah, and we didn't even get time to do that.
But that for another day.
Yes, because remember, y'all, we've all, like Robert and I, and I've been telling y'all since March, they had to spend it all before December 31st. I know that TV news and everybody woke up to this on Monday. I'm telling y'all about this for months and months and months. Speaking of which, though, coming up on tomorrow's show, a big grant made for some coastal restoration projects out of the CARES Act money. How that's going to exactly work, I'm not sure, but we'll talk about it on tomorrow's show. Thanks,
Robert. All right, Sean. Appreciate being here, man. You take care.